Welcome to Sad Boys, a podcast about feelings and other things also. I'm Jarvis.
I'm
flying.
He's in the Matrix.
What the heck?
Oh,
Trinity,
no. Bullet time.
It's the main guy.
It's the main, like Smith?
It's Morlius.
No. Oh, so close.
Morlius, look out. It's...
Morlius, look out.
Hugo Weaving.
No, I told you it was Smith. That's his character.
Yeah, his first name is Hugo Weaving.
His first name is Hugo Weaving Smith.
It would be really funny if partway through that movie, they're like, we're analyzing the code. It turns out that Agent Smith is a type of virus, but, oh, his first name is Clarence.
Okay. Oh, not really concerned about
it. This doesn't change anything.
You don't fear me, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, because we found out about Clarence.
You don't fear a guy named Clarence, Mr. Anderson.
Yes.
And he does the thing where it like show it's like the shutter speed is
really
low, and it's like you see him like in a bunch of things.
I did tell you about the movie double feature I insisted on watching every day one summer when I was like 8.
If this vaguely sounds familiar, but tell me.
I would have to watch The Matrix Revolutions.
Right.
Oh, no. Reloaded.
Yeah.
Had not seen the others.
Yes. That's
then
what I do remember
What
that.
Women Want starring Mel Gibson.
I've never seen that movie.
Rewatched it recently.
Does this hold up?
Because I wanted to show Katie, because I'm like, you know, when you have kind of a anecdote that kind of drifts in the way of stand-up rules where it's true, but you don't remember it well enough. Maybe you're embellishing it with the funnier moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I would refer to it in a like, yeah, Mel Gibson gains the idea, gains the ability to read women's minds because he's an advertising executive that trips into the bathtub while holding hair colors and other feminine products because to test them out because he's a misogynist that needs to learn what they're like.
And
it is complete nonsense. Turns out that is literally exactly what happens.
Oh, wow.
And he can also read dog's minds.
Fun.
That's an odd... It happens one time and then never comes back. But this is a movie about a misogynist needing to be re-educated.
Right.
And he, in the universe of the movie, is right. It is crazy that he's just like, women only think about one thing, thinking about their handbags and shopping. And then he's walking through a crowd of people and they're like, my period, shopping, handbags.
Handbags,
and it's like, I can't believe it was published. And also, like, I won't spoil it for people because I do recommend watching it. But it's actually probably an imperfect encapsulation of what was so broken about early to mid-2000s. I guess it's a rom-com, but early mid-2000 comedy dramas or whatever, and how they don't understand tone and they feel AI written, like, weirdly.
Yeah.
So.
And the AI is trained on those movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It is, hey, man, it's a good hate watch with some pals around, but, twinning it with The Matrix Reloaded without having seen the other movies does give you a bit of tonal whiplash.
I was going to say the phrase tonal whiplash.
It is. It's not unlike coming out of The Matrix. Also, howdy. I'm Jordan.
Howdy.
Did I howdy in the live show? I can't remember.
I don't remember either. It was all kind of a blur. Austin saying you did.
Austin's nodding emphatically. Austin is here in person.
Austin,
stick your head awkwardly into frame. Nice.
Just awkward, yeah. Nice.
Oh, it's all dandruff.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, the camera's... It's broke.
the ugliness meter is going off.
We had our live show. We had the Sad Boys live show at Dynasty Typewriter, December 3rd at 4 p.m. It happened.
As funny as it would be to now be here being solemn and say it did not go particularly well.
Yeah, everything went wrong. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
It was perfect. It was
everything
so
went great.
Fun. Incredible audience, really good time. Shout outs to Mateo for being a very good sport.
And shout out to Isaiah, and you'll know why if you were there.
So, oh my god, that's the stuff that, like, the prepared bits we did, they worked. That was really fun. The guests we got on worked perfectly, super fun. It was those little
bonus special
pieces.
Bonus factors. But if you were not there and don't know what we're talking about, we will be releasing it on the Patreon. So stay tuned for details regarding that. Jacob is in the lab right now cooking up the edit of the live show. We have it filmed in beautiful 4K.
He always wears a white lab coat for the podcast, so that worked out pretty well.
He insists on using like beakers and stuff, and I don't really understand how that applies.
I just want
to
be a scientist so bad.
Your
focus has been on Bunsen burners lately, which doesn't feel very productive for the podcast. But we're not engineers. You don't know shit about coding. I don't know anything about film production.
Freaking knows. But yeah, live show went well. Thank you to everybody who came out, and stay tuned for those who want to see it, because it's, I mean, we can reveal now. We had Eddie Burback, we had Nakey Jakey, we had Iffy Wadiwe, we had Chad Chad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jealous much?
Jealous much. It was a star-studded crew. And a grand old time. So thanks again for that.
It was a very fun one. That was like, I mean, you know, how was your week, including the live, like, how was it after the live show?
Oh, it's not been good, to be honest. I've been, like, out of it. I've been tired. I've been sad. Been trying to figure out what's wrong. It's, like, small, like, work things, but I don't know. It's just I've not been on the right foot lately.
Mm. Does it feel kind of intangible?
It's easy to point to things and say, like, this is the problem, but if I were in better spirits, they probably wouldn't be an issue, if that makes sense. Mm. Like,
and if all of them were resolved, you wouldn't just be a 10.
Exactly, exactly. So that's kind of where I'm at. But, another day, another sleigh, as they say. Just going to keep at it, keep doing things.
You know what they say, it's another day, another sleigh.
Yeah, and thank you for saying that. Yeah,
what a great idea I just had.
Yeah. But before we get into that, me, Jarvis, has a word from today's sponsor, Liquid IV. Did you know that proper hydration is essential to daily health? That's why Liquid IV's Hydration Multiplier is one of the best products to add to your daily routine. With just one stick, you can hydrate 2 times faster than water alone, plus you get essential vitamins and 3 times as much electrolytes as leading sports drinks. Liquid IV comes in 12 delicious and refreshing flavors, and there's no artificial sweeteners. Right now, I am rocking Liquid IV's sugar-free white peach. The packaging, by the way, is very compact and convenient. You can take it with you if you just need to pick me up at work or during a busy day or even after a late night out. You can grab your Liquid IV in bulk at Costco, or you can head over to liquidiv.com and use code SADBOYS at checkout to get 20% off your order. That's 20% off of anything when you shop Better Hydration today at liquidiv.com and use code SADBOYS with a Z at checkout. Thanks again to Liquid IV for sponsoring this video. Now back to the boys. Howdy as well.
Wait.
And that's mine. That's my thing.
Yeah, sorry you've not been feeling so hot.
That's okay. I mean, it comes with the territory of being alive, and it will pass because no feeling is permanent. And all feelings, the good ones and the bad ones, do eventually go. So I'm just trying to, like, be present, acknowledge the moment. It is a bad time for my therapist to be on vacation, but it's the holidays. So I also just don't do well during the holidays. Holidays are always very, very solemn, very solitary, very sad for me because I don't tend to do anything with family just because I don't have a super close... Like, I don't really have that relationship with my family.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I've explained it before, but there's, like, my blood relatives, and there's, like, the family that raised me, and a lot of people from the family that raised me have passed away, so there's not, like, somewhere to go back in that corner, and then, like, my blood relatives I didn't grow up with way, so it's, like, so it ends up being a complicated... thing. So I tend to just ride alone when it comes to the holidays, or I'll do things with friends, and that's what I'm going to try to do this year. Keep myself busy, keep myself from stewing too much, but
it's very
keep myself from stewing.
Whoa.
Stewing. Stop. Too much, Brian.
Stop yourself.
I'm a baby.
It's happening again. The full moon's out.
Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, we have a similar situation with the holidays, but you know, sometimes you hear people talk about, like, oh, it's gone back seeing the family and Uncle George is racist or something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't totally understand it, but I also do I wonder if at some point we should find something that is ours. Because I've also been away a while. We used to spend our Christmases together.
True, true. Yeah, no.
The first one since I'm back?
Yeah.
First one I'm here since I got back.
Yeah.
I briefly was away after I moved back over Christmas.
Right. I have had a little bit of that experience. We talked about it, like the Uncle George is racist or whatever. Like, we had a little bit of that because sometimes I'll, like, go visit Russell's family. I haven't done it in a while, but I'm Russell's sure if I hit them up, they would, like, have me, you know? But I'm also not... It's one of those things where it's, like, I'm bad at reaching out because I don't want to... I don't know what I have the energy for or the desire for. Like, a friend asked me, yo, when are we going to hang out? And I was like... I don't know, because like...
I wish soon.
Yeah, I wish don't know soon, me. But right now I'm not feeling like I want to commit to something.
The one that cancels on you isn't the me right now.
Yeah.
Blame him. Don't blame him, he's not doing well. But like, I'm sorry for him.
Though, we did do an episode, I want to say 2017, called Awkward Thanksgiving Conversations, where we did talk a little bit about... my experiences with like Uncle Dan's racist type beat, but
it's funny to think the podcast is at a place now where I just don't remember episodes.
Oh, I mean, I feel like it's been like that the whole time, because I don't know what we've said. There's like lots of stuff, though. Just for the live show, I had to like look through some of our old episodes, so it was interesting. There's a few things that were really prophetic from like the episode zero that never put out. And some of that we played during the live show, but then there's other stuff that was like too long to include where we like have a conversation about the early episodes of Sad Boys were very like topic focused. And eventually it started to feel like therapy, and I was like already going to therapy once a week. And so it just like felt like a very emotionally draining to do the show that way.
Felt like a deliverable too.
Yeah.
When we say topic focus, for people who don't know, we're talking about like today's episode is about family. Today's episode is about race or validation.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is
fine. It's totally great
as
and fine.
Jumping off, but it's kind of like it was almost like improv where there was this third performer that was the show itself, and we would be like, "Oh, we're on a pirate ship. We're bored." And we're like, "No, we're at a doctor's office."
In the episode zero, which was like basically just a meeting we were having trying to like workshop what the show was, I say like, well, I don't just want it to be like this, because that might be like exhausting for me. It's like I predicted the future, but I didn't even remember that I had said it. There's a few things like that. For example, I had it playing on the speaker when I was editing, and I said to Austin in real life out loud, I guess our first episode, which is like 36 Questions to Fall in Love, we call that episode zero at some point. And so technically this is like episode -1 or something like that. And then in the recording for it, I go, this is episode zero or episode -1. And I'm like, what? There's no free will.
we should keep doing it.
We are all
this should be episode zero.
Deterministic finite state automata.
Oh, yeah. There is no free will, only fatalism. I am very much a John Locke, philosophically speaking.
You can't tell me. Don't tell me what I can't do.
Don't tell me where I can't be on an island.
Don't tell me where I am or what I said.
I just watched the episode where he has a flashback, or like he travels by briefly and sees Richard, and Richard literally goes like, "Don't let him tell you what to not do."
Yeah, he's like, "I won't." Thanks.
I was just thinking, Richard, about letting people tell me what I can't do. Shout outs to Lost, truly.
Shout out to Lost.
It is sad to me that we at any point lived in a world, and I do think it would be different now, where going really strange and avant-garde and having fun with a show, for whatever, you know, for all the drama that was happening behind the scenes, like, as a result, as a product, Lost, in my opinion, has only been getting better over time. And I think if Lost existed in a post or during Mr. Robot era, it would receive a lot of the same love as a weird high concept show.
Yeah.
Would not be as like, I mean, I won't spoil too much of it. Basically the cast just completely turns over. Like, there's a lot of the same people in it, but the show kind of acknowledges like who's right for this story at this time. And it's just, we were watching some of my favorite episodes at the same time that guy was in the background with his Wacom tablet on the plane. He skipped every Joey scene. So I was half there for one episode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shout out.
Shout out to that guy.
Shout out to Joey.
Some say he's watching Friends right now and he's skipping the Joey scenes.
Yeah,
I got off
the plane. The pilot was like, that's. He's been dead.
Yeah.
I do appreciate, I mean, we've talked about it many times, but I think, yeah, that's a very healthy approach to things not being great, is accepting their impermanence. At the same time, the people who are in long, sustaining, difficult points, it's not, the thing you're experiencing isn't invalid because of that.
Right.
It's just something to hold on to. Regardless of where it ends up going, it's just not literally not going to be the same.
It's contrary to what your brain wants to do and what humans, what humans are bad at, but insist on doing, which is assuming that everything will stay the same. A lot of our like anxieties are based on the fact that like, literally everything about the world doesn't change like every second.
Sure.
And we are not good at predicting the future, but as a survival mechanism, like it's natural to try to predict the future, but then that gets into like anxiety, you know.
And humans really don't like feeling powerless.
Yeah,
that's kind of why. Like, I feel like especially right after I went back to the UK, a lot of people were saying like, "Well, mourning," I guess, is like when people say it a lot. I mean, you've experienced this too, where people will say like, "Wow, sorry to hear that," and then either make a reference to their own experience or say, try and comfort you with a platitude, when in reality, I mean, I'm okay hearing other people's experience, that can be helpful, but with the platitudes, like, they're like, oh, well, you know, things get better, not everything will stay the same. It's well-intentioned, but I also think a lot of the time it's a, oh, my friend is suffering and I can't do anything. Here's my last resort.
Yeah.
That won't happen forever.
And yeah.
If I get that instinct, because if people think that we think it will,
right?
Great.
Feedback, yeah, and yeah. I'm actually like, my unpopular opinion is I'm not too much a hater of platitudes. I think it depends on where, you know, it feels like it's coming from. Because I think a platitude can be earnest, and it could also be like,
I don't want to have this conversation.
I don't want to have this conversation. Yeah, because a lot of times those platitudes, like, are based in something like, you know, like something, time heals all wounds or something like that. It's like, whatever. But you know, when you look back on your life and about the things that were like particularly painful or stressful in a moment in time, and you look at them with like hindsight, you go, oh, I guess like that really wasn't a big deal. You know, there's some things that are big deals, but other things, you know, that may ruin a day for me today, I may look back in a week, in a year, and say, you know, what was I worried about?
Oh, I mean, based on the way you're talking about it now, it'll probably be close to like, oh, yeah, I was right. You know, yeah. It was that kind of temporary. I mean, the only time I get frustrated by platitudes is when I've asked for something else.
If
I say, like,
yeah,
I'm venting and I'm still getting platitudes,
I'm
going to have to too many times say, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
This is just hearing me out and accepting or challenging my reality is just all I'm after. But to do that, I mean, that's being powerless. It's like not being able to help somebody you care about in a really complicated situation. I'm as guilty as anyone. Like, we will do
it's like when you have a, like, if you're talking to a partner and it's like, if you're a person that wants to solve every problem and your partner's like share in their venting and they don't want you to solve their problems, they just want to vent, then like, it's, even if it's well-intentioned, trying to solve the problem right now is not going to be, it's not going to lead to good things. You just kind of have to like listen to what they want.
I think that's the height of it, right? It's like, the most platitudes I've ever gotten from anyone is in a very well-intentioned relationship setting where the level of intimacy you have together makes the feeling of powerlessness hurt the most. And also when I've given it the most. And then on the other end of the spectrum where it happens the most, and I think it is not well-intentioned, is often kind of boomer friend, family or like family friends who are just like, you know, got like northern family and were very like kind of emotionally traditional, don't talk about your emotions kind of thing.
Right.
Be just wanting to be like, I don't like having this conversation.
Yeah.
It's actually fine. You're like, oh, okay, then. That's good for you. That I no longer feel too bad.
Yeah. Well, but how about you? How is your week, including the show?
I had a good stretch of hypomania prior to the show, maybe partly in anticipation, but also finally not anticipating having to travel or having like a thing, you know. It was like, got to be back every couple months to check in with the family, do so-and-so. Now got to go back for, you know, stuff with my mom and my aunt and all that. Then all the logistics for it, then going back for the funeral itself, but prior to that, planning the funeral. Then a nice trip, but still, you know, a week and a half after the funeral, was going to Michigan. And I was going back from Michigan, and now this is the longest break where I'm not getting ready to go somewhere for something.
Right.
Usually something that sucks. And the live show was kind of the last thing. So I think my... also, meds very inconsistent with travel and sleep and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know. I had like kind of, yeah, that hypomanic period got, my apartment is very clean. I'll say that. And then the live show happened and I was expecting it. That's typically when it happens, is because I'm the same with like, when I was younger, sometimes drugs, but usually just alcohol is like, you know, my thing where once the high starts, I really struggle to let it go. And the high of the live show was such that I'm like, I usually want to carry that forward and kind of then lose myself over the course of 5 days or so and then deep depression afterwards. But I think a mix of having the hypomanic episode prior to the show, which should have made me worse for the show, but maybe the show just picked me up so much, having it prior to that, and then we had a really nice warm down from the show. I think that helped. I think we all, I just say to people, hypomania, obviously not conditional, not all due to conditions, it's partially luck. But we had a dinner and drinks with all the people involved and the friends that came to the show after. And I think that was like brought me down to earth again a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like performer Jordan can take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
The show is our authentic selves, but we do have to retain a little bit of our authentic selves. It is still a performance. We are still on.
Yep.
And sitting down, Jakey was in town, which was really nice.
Oh, yeah.
To hang out with Jakey, catch up a little bit. Fortunate that the GTA 6 trailer hadn't come out yet, because we would have been there for hours. We would lose ourselves to that. Having chats with Jakey about video games is like, we could... 2 years could pass, with long beards and skeletons or something. But yeah, I'm surprised by doing all right. I'm readying myself for a little bit of a drop.
I mean,
which is just the way. I have a psych session this Friday for the first time in 3 months. So that could be. He doesn't know about my mom. So I'm going to have to hit him. And he's so sweet.
Right.
He's like the loveliest guy.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's emotionally measured with stuff like that. So he professionally is good at it. But it does feel like telling a friend a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just like, Sue.
Yeah.
My guy.
Right. A funny thing happened on the way to the plane.
Yeah, this is something. he's like, "Do you have any news?" I'm like, yeah, I think I do." So he kicked out the funeral for being cringe.
Yeah, what's that? It's like an awkward penguin or whatever. Yeah.
Dr. Awkward has checked in.
Yeah,
palindrome.
Ooh, that's not true.
Dr. Awkward.
Maybe it is. Oh, palindrome. Wait, same way both ways?
Yeah.
I believe you, but, oh, that's cool.
I learned in a children's book I recently read of palindromes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read.
Yeah, I see it now. I see it now.
I can't wait to, I don't really know if I intend to have kids, but if I did, I'm going to be such a nighttime story reader.
Oh.
Because every time my niece has like a children's book or something and I'm reading it, I'm just like, this is sick. I'm learning a lot about everybody pooping.
I'm going to definitely like get down too many ADHD rabbit holes when I'm asked about how things work why things are.
The kid is just gonna be like, too many variables.
Oh yeah, why is the sky blue? Okay, well,
To us, it is, of course.
Yeah, to us, it is.
Let me get a Hank Green video.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of sources.
Let me call Uncle Hank. What's
that?
Yeah, it's the kid again. Sorry, Hank.
Yeah, I know I'm asking you to do this again. He just plays a pre-recorded video of himself.
You could have played.
That I could have played.
You could have. You flew him out to your house to do that?
He hits play on SciShow, and he goes, here you go.
The kid's asleep.
No. And it's just me watching it. And I go, ooh, interesting. Oh, scratches my itch.
Oh, man.
You see that?
I actually don't have a kid, so this is perfect for me.
Yeah, it's... I was trying to... It's White Jarvis. That's my kid. The figure.
Not your house.
It's not my house. I rented this.
Hey, it's Hanks, this is your house. He's, I think, probably foundational YouTuber for us, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I want to...
Even more so you, actually, than me.
I want to have Hank and John on the show at some point, but they never come out here. And... I'm jealous that I saw Curtis did an episode with Hank and I was like, oh, I'm so, I mean, not jealous, but like, I was like, oh, I want for me too.
Yeah. Supportive and excited. Jealous.
Yeah. I was like, oh, sick.
What's funny is when I see our friends in that sphere, especially Great White Northwise, doing like specials and big stand-up events and stuff like that, because it's never been a goal. So it's like a different kind of jealousy.
Right.
It's like a, hey, big thing.
Big thing.
But then I...
Exciting.
Don't feel the, like, when do I get that big thing?
Right.
It's kind of... We both try and be balanced. We're semi-self-aware about that stuff. But
yeah.
It's not so much the feeling you can prevent. It's your reaction to it.
Right.
What you do and say.
And that's the thing, especially with just, like, Bad Vibes Central, which is the current town that my brain is in.
It's in lockdown, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like you can't. It sucks because, like, I was talking to my therapist about this. She's like, well, you have so much self-awareness about this thing, and you're like taking steps and you're doing what you can. And I'm like, yeah, it just sucks that the feeling exists.
Mm.
Like, I have the tools to like weather the feeling, but I hate experiencing the feeling.
Yeah. I've saved up the money, but I can't pay off the debt for some reason. They won't accept the money.
Yeah, it's like I can block the jutsu from my, you know, critic brain.
Yeah.
But I still take chip damage. You know what I mean?
Okay, now we're into
it. Yeah, yeah. And it's like there's no perfect parry.
Yeah.
That prevents, you know, that prevents me from taking psychic damage.
Dude, you're activating my brain right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to convince Katie to get into fighting games.
Ooh.
Because the two things she's very good at and very... I'll ask her if she can't be talking about it. I don't give a shit. I talk what I want. I'm famous. I can do whatever I want. Okay, babe. She's really into Pokemon Go Battle League right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very good at and very into poker. Mm-hmm. Has been for a long time.
Yeah.
And she was showing me... optimal cheats, essentially. She's also playing chess too, but primarily poker. And poker has, you know, game theory optimization,
yeah,
similar to,
oh, for sure,
every other complex game. But she is very good at poker and very into the optimization. While she's showing me these sheets, I'm like, this is a fighting game.
Yeah,
what you're looking at, minus execution, you are looking at frame data, you are looking at tier lists.
Yeah, she studies math also.
Yes.
For context.
She counts. She's so good at counting.
Yeah.
10, 20, and I know the rest.
I don't even, yeah, I was going to say, you're past me at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, coding requires ones and zeros.
I saw like one of her things that she was working on, and I've taken a lot of math classes too in my day, and I was like, man, I'm so glad I don't have to do this shit. It was like, because it used to be like, you know, it's like for my degree, it was one of the degree requirements.
Counting.
And yeah, counting. And I was like, okay, I got 1 through 5 down. But then like there's all these, like what's 6? There's like a fucking squiggle.
But there's 6 computers here.
Yeah.
How many am I supposed to use?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 6 is a vibe.
Yeah, don't even get me started on Zero, which is very hard to grasp.
Terrence Howard was your teacher.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. One times one is two.
One, two,
one
man.
Plus one is two, man. That's not even a Terrence Howard impression, but it's like impression of Jordan's Terrence Howard impression.
Which is my impression of Jamie Foxx's impression.
Right.
It's Jamie all the way down.
Right. But yeah, so you're trying to get Katie into fighting games?
Trying to get her into fighting games. It is a tall order because it's also, you know what? It'd be like if you're pitching somebody on chess and then you were like, but hear this, it's not fun for 40 hours. You have to find someone at exactly your skill level.
Yeah.
Or it won't be fun.
Or it won't be fun.
Without practicing at home.
All the time.
Sounds pretty cool, but she's already left.
You've got to memorize all of the combinations.
Her and the dog are long gone.
Oh, okay. You have to memorize the frame data moves.
Sleep, but I love you. I love you, please. Me running down the street.
Wait, but there's flowcharts as well.
Her apartment.
She more left. Things to...
Please, there's, number 1, 2, 3, et cetera.
Yeah, it's just like 6. You love that.
Dude, teaching a math class and being like 1, 2, etc. A lot like 6.
Yeah, it's a lot like 6.
So close.
Yeah, it's just things, describing things like numbers. Like I was getting on the highway the other day and it was kind of a lot like 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it kind of like looped back around.
Yeah. Or like,
I was like, damn, I mean, that's crazy.
I don't know what they look like, these numbers, but there's 8 guys there, I would imagine. Probably.
I was watching F1 and they were on a track that was a lot like 0.
There's so many more cars than 1.
Yeah.
And I was like, F this.
F A. Get that? A. More like F U.
Jacob, come back.
Just kidding.
Shout outs to Austin, by the way. I don't know if this is when we want to do it. But he gifted us on his way from the Great White North.
Austin, one of our team members and editors.
Came down for the live show. He gifted us the Holy Canadian Kit Kat.
Yeah, the Canadian Kit Kat. They make it special there.
Those familiar with the lore of the show
know. You know it's good because Jordan puts up with it even though there's French on the packaging. Yeah. It's...
No. If you turn it around, yeah.
Oh yeah.
It...
No. On this side, it's just English. I think
it's on the wrong side.
Everything. I feel like everything in Canada, you like have to like look at it with one angle for like it's like an optical illusion. You look at it one way, it's English. One way, it's French.
You want to know something jacked up? I have it with me. I could. Yeah, I'll just show you one too.
Oh, this is an incredible segue, and you have no idea. Oh, I'm so sorry.
The British passport includes the French translation.
Why?
On the other side. So what it looks like is January 2020 is when you get the passport, and January it expires 6th. In French January 2024.
Speaking of passports, I went yesterday to go get a passport photo taken.
How'd it go?
Bad. I went to the UPS store. And I don't know why people make such a... Like, there's all these rules and regulations around passport photos. But in reality, it was just, like, a guy with, like, a weird camera. And then he, like, took the photo from below me because he was a bit shorter than me. And I said, hey, do you want me to sit down? And he said, no. Okay. And so I'm standing up, towering over this man while he, like... takes a photo of me like I'm a fucking titan.
Yeah. That's me, a kaiju passport.
Yeah, right? And then, yeah, it's forced perspective. I'm Gandalf or whatever.
Yeah, you're going to New Zealand.
Yeah, and I get the photo, but they print it on like a little printer thing that is also a thing you can commercially buy. None of these things are special. They're not like government-issued passport generator. It's just like a Canon photo printer and a shitty Canon camera. And the photo looked bad. and this is no offense to the guy just doing his job, but
say
more,
his name.
Okay. Rodrigo.
We found him.
Yeah, we found you. No. So I was like, I can't do this. And then I was like, well, you can take your own passport photo in America. And so I came back here and I set up my big softbox. And against one of the white walls, and I had Austin take a photo of me, and then we submitted that.
It's mentioned in that little frame, right? We have to line it up.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta crop it in. But yeah, and so now it was previously taken with maybe the world's worst camera. And then I took it with one of our podcast cameras, and it was too high definition to the point where people are like, this looks like AI or like, because the only time people are now seeing hyper, like high definition, high DPI images are when they're generated by AI.
And in the image, you have an extra tooth.
That's true. Yeah. No, I do have an extra.
And it's a beautiful nude.
Yeah, there's a few items that are unidentifiable in the picture.
Yeah, it's like a trick.
Yeah, it's like name one of these things.
If you blur your eyes, it's two people kissing, and if you focus on it, it's a vase. Yeah.
So I hope they accept it. Once they accept it, then I'll release a few more secrets about the photo.
What could that be? It was AI.
Yeah, it's got like a secret code on it.
1010.
Like when you look, when the gate agent looks at it, like blinds them. Like,
I guess I have to let you through.
Yeah, it's French. If you look at it with one eye.
Do not even bring that up. I told you.
Yeah,
that
it's like
confidence.
I have like a striped shirt and a beret on.
You look like a burglar.
Yeah, I look like the Hamburglar.
Why is burglar attire the same as a mime?
Because the mimes are trapped in invisible jail.
Oh, they're all jailed. Oh, that's when they're grabbing the bars and shaking them.
Yeah.
We should say, if nobody knows this, there's like a pretty significant modern clown and mime scene in LA. LA, it, you know,
that's true.
Trendy clown where it's like alt and maybe, I don't know, you eat a big candy bar. Or
something. Some people I know got into clowning. Like who were in the improv scene in San Francisco, people were like, oh yeah, I've got a clowning workshop this weekend. And I'm like, why do you have that?
On purpose?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to invisible jail this weekend.
Yeah, I've got a clowning workshop, so I'll be in a city center, unable to move from a 4x4 square.
You know, it would be fun is having a full mime routine where it begins with you doing like the petty misdemeanor and then you going to court and then you in like you're acting up in court like doing movements and stuff, and then you're held in contempt of court overnight,
right?
And it goes all the way until you are released on good behavior, you read the Bible at one point in between, and then you raise a family.
That is probably what it looked like when I was in VR for a week. I just had
holding a child with both arms.
Yeah, I just had the headset on, but I was like doing all the motions, and I was like, please, no. And then they were like, you're sentenced to VR jail or whatever, which was a place I did go to VR jail.
It's 3D audio of people telling me that I'm going to jail.
Yeah, they were all kids, but they were pretty serious.
Yeah, that's the thrill of the.
There was a point in that video where I was in a courtroom and a lot of kids were yelling at me to get to the jury, which I assume is what it's like to serve in a real jury.
We've been through it. We've been in Gen Pop.
I went to when I had jury duty. I got let go. They were like, you're free to go. And I said, oh.
Did they do like jury selection?
Yeah, because like when you go in for jury duty, you just might not be selected. And then they're like, we'll see you in 2 years or whatever.
Pretty crazy idea, by the way.
Yeah.
Just being like, I don't like this one.
Yeah.
It's like vetoing in a fighting game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want this stage.
Yeah.
He's too mean to my guy.
All right. We've got a couple things today. One of them is the reactions to GTA 6, specifically from the Tate brothers and Elon Musk.
Oh, boy.
So we'll get to that. But the first one I want to talk about is this TikTok trend where people are getting bite mark tattoos. Have you seen this?
When we talked about it the other day, I took a brief look, but then I'm like, I'll save my full reaction for the pod.
I don't know if... I mean, we're going to pull some of these up, and I don't know if there's much more to it than what I just described, but it is still very strange.
Well, when I heard it, my brain went, you know, as a connoisseur of dog shit tattoos, as an owner of quite a few myself, I truly, my instincts were like, okay, what are like, it's like a trendy, maybe like a goofy, like teen tattoo or something. And I thought it would be a vampire 2-dot bite.
That's what I was thinking too.
Which, cool, not terrible.
Yeah.
Would you be mad if I got it?
My bite mark.
For the audio listeners, it is a a girlfriend lining up to her boyfriend in a Yankees cap. Very cool. I don't know baseball at all. Is that them? They do baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. My favorite, crack of the bat. She's sidling up to bite him for real before getting the tattoo.
This very much seems like vampires tricked people. Yeah. Like, this is what would happen. Up. Yeah, yeah. It's like, this is my big vampire.
Oh, dude, this is nasty. On the arm, too. That's like, well, actually, I can't think of anywhere else that would be better.
Yeah, the neck, I think.
Yeah.
You just get a neck chunk. Tattoo that's just like a chunk. What if you got like a hyper realistic tattoo of like, you know, the like makeup that they'll do in like The Walking Dead or something? Where somebody has like gashes, like The Last of Us or something.
Oh, when you watch, a friend of ours, Sophie, she works in like makeup, right? And there's like those hyper realistic like Halloween costumes where half their face is missing.
Yeah.
And I think you have to get desensitized to it, because when I see that, might as well be real. I'm just like, oh, Jesus.
That's how Christ. I am with gore and horror.
Like Saw Gore?
Yeah, Saw Gore, which sounds like somebody, like a name of a ogre or something.
I am Saw Gore. I love makeup.
But like there will be a horror movie trope where like somebody's eye gets, something happens bad to the eye. I'm not even going to describe it. But it's meant to make you wince, and I do. Even though I know it's fake, just because it's like, my brain doesn't know.
Yeah.
Like my instinct doesn't know yet.
I know all these people don't exist.
Yeah. And I haven't desensitized myself to watching this crap because I'm not a freak.
I'm not insane. Which
just
you
kidding.
Are.
If you like it. Can we pause it on that frame? I don't think. Unpopular opinion. I don't think you needed a real person to bite for that. It looks pretty generic.
I think what would be better about that is maybe you break up.
Yeah.
You know what's nice is that you can get away with something as obscure as like bite marks, maybe even a handprint. Because you just be like, it's just, you know, a generic handprint. Me and Sarah aren't together anymore. And I got it at the same time that we were together, but whatever. Also, something I take into account when I get my dumbest tattoos. Very coverable.
Right.
You can turn that into a little sun.
I just don't even know if this tracks to me as a bite mark.
No. It would need more. It's not that I want it to be. It's not really visceral enough. Like,
yeah.
Like a bite. Prior to the tattoo, it was like more like, oh, what the hell? What happened?
Right, right. Because this just looks like a few like chiclets in a circle.
Yeah, it looks like sweet corn.
Yeah.
I got a tattoo of sweet corn.
Yeah, I don't really know if it's like hitting for me. But it's funny because I guess if you ever needed to, like, if you ever forgot who you were in a relationship with and you get all their bite marks, you can, like, look at their dental records.
It's like a memento tattoo for forensics.
You, like, go to the police office and you go, like, hey, could you, like, pull up the dental records on this? Yeah. I'm trying to remember who I dated in 2013.
We're arresting you for being annoying. I would be... Is disappointed the right way to put it? If I was the girlfriend, I'd feel a bit embarrassed. My teeth look weird.
I mean,
when they're drawn.
This is not to like yuck anybody's yum. This is like the same to me as like tattooing a partner's name.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Which risky biscuit?
Risky biscuit. It's risky business.
That tattoo's in frame right now. I'm not the biggest fan of. I think my difference is they were dumb from the start.
Yeah.
And this is a... Even the music in the background is like so emotionally sincere.
I like your tattoos though.
Thanks, man.
But it's not like I get it like from the other side. It's like, you know.
I was thinking the other day, when and why did I start getting them? And there's some life circumstances you know about that would set that up. But I realized it might resonate specifically with you, because one of the reasons was I was sick, or like one of the things I've always been frustrated by that I think tattoos code against is being branded by especially white people as like light-skinned soft boy.
Mm.
And like they love it if you wear glasses and a bow tie.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, I'm actually just like, I'm the non-threatening version of the thing you want to be attracted to.
It's like when all the NBA players were wearing just glasses rims.
Yeah.
Like like they were wearing glassesless glasses. God, and it was a style. It was like a preppy style. Very college dropout coded.
I have so many memories of just like, including when I moved here, of just people being like, he's so like, you know, he's like fancy. He's like, avoiding the terminology of what they're actually talking about. But like, I don't know, especially even more so growing up because it was such a white town. I just remember people being like, I just love it. You're beautiful. It's like caramel, the skin. It's like so delicate.
Oh.
Like, there's, I'm projecting in parts. I'm sure some people were not going small bean soft boy, but the people my age were saying that like pretty explicitly because they didn't know that they were racist. And they would just be like, "Yeah, I just love it. It's like, you know, like the less like gangster kind of like, you know,
like, it's like you're a beautiful black creature." So
a beautiful black creature. I was just rewatching it. Somebody sent me a clip of our reaction to maybe the first N-word Bruno drops in Black White, and it's so funny. It is, it's perfectly synced.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. There was, I saw, against my will, a comment on a Sad Boys episode or something where someone was like, I was talking about when people like, what's the word? They something eyes you.
Fetishize,
yeah, like when it's like, oh, I love your hair,
yeah,
like that type of compliment, like it's one that you have to like receive in a specific context and like know the history of to like feel a certain way about. So somebody was like, they were just giving you a compliment. I swear, you guys are so soft, like, and that's like, I don't know if I was, you know, it's like they always say that, and it's like, but then you go to their Twitter and they're like complaining about something, and it's like, this is.
People say Ethereum is whack. It's not. It's actually very cool.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, you sound pretty soft, I think, actually. But
I'm not crying. I'm laughing, actually.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, because sometimes I feel, you know, this. There's an element of colorism to this, too, so I do not get this the same way I would if my skin was darker. Mm. But, like, getting, you know, called aggressive. Sure. Like, when I've like not really don't have a history of like raising my voice in, you know, content or anything like that, or like yelling or like actually being angry, like maybe I'll be a little pissy, maybe I'll be a little passive aggressive, but like passive aggressive, emphasis on passive, but I'm never like, rawr. But but there is a thing where, you know, black people are like called it's a microaggression or whatever. Yeah.
Which is, I do think is like a term that people that don't get it find frustrating, or at least like find invalid because of the word micro. It's like, what, you're upset about something so small? And it's like, well, I'm upset on a micro level. I'm not yelling and screaming. I'm not particularly upset. It's cringe.
Yeah.
And you're annoying me.
It's like, but it's also the things that happen in the micro add up.
Yes.
And so that's why it's like, you point out that thing because that thing happens hundreds, thousands of times and it adds up to, you know, something greater, like a micromort adds up to your death.
being nothing. I mean, that's also like a explicitly aggressive or racist comment is like, or not even just racist, prejudice of any kind, is in some ways it's clearer. Because more people, like fewer people, are willing to be that transparent.
Yeah.
Whereas, and if somebody does, it's like, well, look at this freak. Look at this. Don't we all know that racism is bad? As
it's
opposed
also,
to people that are just like, oh my God, it's like a sheep. Like,
yeah, exactly. Which is another comment that
it's
I've gotten
wrong.
But it's more cringe than it is anything else. Like, I'm not losing sleep over this. It's just like
seeing someone that corny is painful.
Yeah, it's true.
Corny's worse than being,
or just like terrible. Lack of. I think there's a certain like lack of awareness and stuff like that. That's like, it's like not in the meme cringe, but it's quite literally cringeworthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like gore. I'm wincing and being like, ah.
Yeah. All right. Let's watch. What if it continued and it was like a perspective, like it was like the you like looked at the arm and it was like your girlfriend biting you like from the inside out.
A hyper-realistic, yeah, her escaping.
Like when you look at those like those chalk drawings where you look at them at an angle and it looks like they're in like three dimensions.
Oh, like yeah, you go and you see some like chalk graffiti against a sidewalk and it's like, oh my God, it's Master Chief.
Yeah, and he's standing up.
Wait, Jacob, can we briefly pull up the first one again? I think I noticed something. I hope it's not true. Okay, no, I was wrong. I'm sorry. For a second, I thought the tattooist had the same arm tattoo, like the stripes, but I guess the perspective was just off.
Yeah, how awkward would that be if you like run into somebody else who has your girlfriend's bite mark on them?
Yeah, and a kiss and a hug.
Yeah, you go, wait a second, hold on, let's go side by side.
Wait a minute.
And then you like, and it's like, it lines up, and you're like, I have to make some calls.
I dated a right after Invisalign.
Oh, yeah, damn.
Has she been wearing a retainer or something?
Oh, my God.
Oh, see, that's the weird one. Ooh.
That one's a probably won't show that one just because it's a little
more visceral bite. That's what I was picturing.
Yeah, yeah. This
one is on the neck or the shoulder, I guess.
They like do it, I think, in red.
Yeah.
Oh, that is way worse. Yeah. It looks like it never heals. Mm-hmm.
They did it in red. That's crazy.
Also, they did.
I feel like you'd get asked about, like, hey, are you okay?
Yeah. That looks more like one of those 3D scans when you get braces or something. That's like, yeah. Just the structure of it is less flattering than those little staple shapes they did for the other one.
Yeah.
That one was like, oh, Jesus. Great. Oh, I'm inside the mouth.
Is there one more we can watch?
Was there a place I can get this shit? Or something? Whatever, I guess. I don't care.
It looks like these are ads for the tattoo artists, and I don't want to say anything bad about the artist because they're just doing what they're asked.
Go get other tattoos. Well, or go get a bite mark tattoo if you're a sick freak.
Yeah. I guess it's the trend. I don't know if we can play the song, but there's a specific song playing. These don't look the same. Like,
the convention is like shifting a lot.
Yeah.
Is that one even, was that like partially red or it's just his arm is so fucked up?
I'm so confused.
Yeah, I think
man.
He's just got
these ruined. Don't even, none of these look the same. Yeah.
I also think, just personally, I don't mind, not everyone needs like a sleeve or patchwork or whatever, but like there's always something a little strange to me about one really odd tattoo.
Just on a completely nude body.
It makes me think you're in a frat or something.
Yeah.
And there's just like the Sigma symbol
the
or something.
Brand.
And then you're like, I never really wanted one, but I kind of, my girlfriend wanted to bite me.
This is a bad time for me to reveal my bite mark tattoo that I have.
Who did
it's it? It's my soul tattoo.
A previous co-host of a podcast.
I went to the tattoo artist and I said, will you bite me? Is it extra? Is it extra if you bite me first?
It's on your back and you don't know that's what they're doing. You're just like,
I was like, ow, Jesus. Tattoos really do hurt.
In a big kind of sphere.
Yeah, no one really talks about it, but they like bite you and stuff. And you're just like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah,
no, like the tattoo gun, it feels like it bites.
Right. And the shape that after the tattoo is like a bite
mark. It's like a bite mark.
We're
I don't know how
page.
Do you see somebody with a sleeve? How did you cover up all the bite marks?
Damn, somebody was hungry, huh?
Yeah. Give you a sleeve.
Also, it's a bite. It's not like a nibble or something. It's like a medical bite mark. It's like a kind of bite mark.
It's like maybe this is gonna come off the wrong way, but it feels Twilight coded.
Yeah.
Like it feels like it's from a bygone era.
I've placed my ownership on you.
All right. Well, I don't know what the hell that is, but another thing. So
once we hit a certain goal on the Patreon, of course, I will get one. You are also.
Yeah, I'm going to get one on my butt.
I'm going to get one right on my nose.
Yeah, I'm going to get one on my.
There were ones where they're doing it on their butt.
Oh,
I figured
God.
We couldn't show those.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tricky.
The on the Patreon, I'll post a TikTok of somebody biting my ass. And then I get a TikTok.
One lucky patron.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a specific tier. 20 spots available. That was unwise, I think.
20 spots, yeah.
Yeah. That was...
Okay, so GTA 6 trailer came out.
Ah.
And
that was it.
know, after 10 years of, you know, one of the most successful, most profitable games
the most
of all time.
Profitable piece of entertainment ever in human history.
Oh, well, there you go.
Isn't that fucking insane?
That is insane.
GTA Online is a big part of that. I think that's way more.
Right, because it's like total, it's probably got to be in the billions because it's been hundreds of millions of dollars a year for like several years, right?
The reason that people knew even before the announcement of the trailer was coming out that there was going to be a GTA 6 trailer this year, and it was probably going to come out in the next 2 years, is because 2K, the publisher, posted expected revenue, and it's $7 billion. It's increased by something like that, like billions of dollars, and they're like, wow. Feeling good about NBA this year, huh? Feeling like pretty psyched about GTA Online.
Though, if you pop back over to that trailer thing, we're not going to watch the trailer because we've heard that they might claim us, but our friend Alana took the risk. So watch your back, Alana. Though, the views, very tight, very good.
Very good stuff.
I'm going to watch the trailer because I haven't watched it yet.
Do you know where the game is set?
I heard they're going back. They're going back to San Andreas.
No, welcome home, dude.
They're going to LA. But what do they call it?
Your home.
To San Francisco? To Florida. They're going back to Miami?
Yeah, Vice City, baby.
Vice City. Okay, yeah. Well, that's not my home. But
Vice City.
but yeah, let's watch it. I'm gonna watch it, is what I meant to say. You don't get to see it.
One day old, 109 million views.
Yeah, broke Mr. Beast's record.
Do we have more than for Sad Boys?
Come again?
Do we have more views for Sad? I don't check the analytics.
No. Yeah, man.
It's okay if we have less. It's like the biggest video ever. I just thought, I think we're close.
No, yeah, we're super duper close.
Check those analytics. Oh, Jesus Christ, don't know.
Trailer came out, broke all the records. Some of our favorite people have had responses to this.
God, I'm remembering two of these.
One I want to look at is, oh yeah, so first of all, the reason that they dropped the trailer early was because of a leak.
Yes.
And they did it in response to a leak, and now no one's going to remember the leak because the, you know, they released the trailer for a game that comes out in a year for this reason, I think. Yeah. Because someone leaked it anyway. There was a lead producer who's like son's friend, like leaked footage and stuff from his computer.
It's so bold.
Is wildly bold.
You have to come from a level of, I'm guessing, level of privilege that makes you think you are invincible. They will have you killed. They have the most money.
Yeah. It's like the Wizards of the Coast and the Pinkertons for less.
Yeah, because a guy was mailed something by them.
By them, yeah. So one of the responses, this is just whatever, but it's funny, is from Aiden Ross. Can we click this first link, Jacob?
So Aiden Ross is doing a live with someone I... Oh, okay.
Wait, why would they... Wait, scroll up. Rockstar employee leaked the GTA 6 storyline on Aiden Ross's stream. Why would they do that? That seems like that would put their job in danger.
What's going on, man? Do they just not think they can... Hey, come on.
I'm confused.
Rockstar, also, 2K's famously litigious. If anyone was going to fuck their life up... Also, you got to crop out your battery life. That always blows my mind. I'm so self-conscious about it.
Just ever, yeah, okay. We can hit play.
You want to know all the details?
Yeah.
The good juicy stuff? Okay, so it's going to be Lucia is the main character, and she's going to be the main character. She's going to be in prison, right?
I don't like that we have a girl as the main character. I don't like that shit.
She's iconic. Don't worry. It's not going to be like the typical... It's going to really blow people away. It's not gonna be like, bro,
I feel like they're doing that shit to adapt to 2023 and shit. Like, bro, we don't need no girls a character, bro.
I hear you, but trust me, it's not going to be like that.
First of all, this was confirmed literally years ago. They revealed that it was a female protagonist.
Oh.
But it's not. It's both of them.
Yeah.
Because, and look, not to be cynical about it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's no longer that, but that was the original leak. It's Rockstar's probably not going to take the risk of not having a male protagonist at all.
Yeah.
Or at least a co-star. They already had the tech to, you know, hop around in GTA 5 or whatever. just imagine having the instinct. It's within seconds. He's like immediately like, oh, that pisses me off, bro.
That it's like he's become that kind of reactionary. It's so funny just being so young and being so like boomery.
And being just like his face changes kind of so fast. I didn't even know the netcode was that good on live.
Like, he gets that message. Like, oh man.
Come on.
But it's like, a woman.
But like,
and then all his chat's probably like www. Yeah. And he's like, okay, chat, you like that? Okay, cool. I'll keep saying those things.
Do you guys think I'm cool? But I'm just a crowd work comedian, right?
Drops the mic.
Drops the phone.
Dude, he's gonna be the next stream guest.
Which one of them?
Matt Rife. Hell, I bet he's gonna. I feel like he's gotta show up on Aiden Ross's stream at some point.
He's gonna be the next Sad Boys guest, guys. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. Mm-hmm. Matt Rife coming on January 6th.
Nope.
We'll be doing.
Stop it.
Also, the instinct to be like, hey, the reason they're doing this is to adapt to 2023.
But
what year do you think we're in?
Yeah, that's such a funny thing. It's like they're just trying to make something that's like of the time that we live in.
That actually is always the weirdest part of, you know how people, even kind of boomers, know that socially racism is wrong. Like they know that 99% of people know that like racism is a thing you have to say is wrong.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how you perform that or like what your praxis is. It's just the rules. Like, racism is wrong, the Civil War happened, states' rights, but also, you know, here's the law, here's the rules.
Racism is wrong, but we solved it.
Yeah, exactly. But people will do completely racist things, but then still announce the Klan. You know, it's like you have to follow the rules. You're not allowed to wear that outfit, but you can do everything.
Right.
They always have to justify it with some kind of like principle or like, well, it's because, you know, they're recasting the Little Mermaid, it's cynical. And I'm like, first of all, everything's cynical. Rockstar doesn't care about you. They don't like you. You're annoying to them.
Yeah, but look at the fucking Squid Game reality show. It's like everything is, it's just the money, money's the motive, right?
But the reason they're doing it, they always seem to forget. It's like, non-guys buy GTA.
Yeah.
Everyone buys GTA.
GTA is, like you said, one of the biggest media properties ever to exist.
Like, number one, I don't know if the houses are running this one as well, but let's just say the House Brothers, or one of the houses, they wanted to make a story with a female protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty much always has to be a part of it, or else you just can't do a very good or authentic job of it. You could not make the same argument for, like, Red Dead Redemption. They're just adapting because people wanted a game in the Old West.
Yeah.
It's like, well, people did want a game in the Old West. They wanted to make a game in the Old West, and they made a good game in the Old West.
True.
It's not like what is bothering you about it? Or that guy's like, pronouns.
It's like, it's such a surface-level critique.
It's just vibes-based. It's just vibes. I don't like women. That's all it is.
But what's so funny about this is the reaction from Elon Musk, who...
fucking loser.
Famous, famous edgy, edgelord, king of sticking it to the libs.
The king of sting, baby.
The king of sting, dude. He doesn't let anybody tell you what to do, what he's going to do.
Elon Musk, the Roastmaster General, they call him.
Yeah, he was asked in a Twitter thread about GTA 5, and his response is so funny. It felt like it took me back to like Fox News being upset about the hot coffee mod and like... what was that? That was
the San Andreas mission.
Yeah, where... by the way, just like... My point is that Grand Theft Auto has been a controversial video game for the entirety of its lifetime. And the controversies have always been like from pearl clutching conservatives.
Yes, yeah.
And one of the controversies was this thing called the hot coffee mod, where someone discovered that you could modify the game beyond, like, so basically there were assets in the game of a sex scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not accessible.
A playable off-screen sex scene. Playable like, no penetration on screen. No new,
yeah, playable off-screen sex scene that was removed from the game but was still in the game data. People found it, hacked it back into the game. And then there was a controversy about that to the point that it escalated and they had to change the ESRB rating of the game.
So insane.
And then they were able to re-release the game without it and get back to like a T rating or something like that.
It went from, I think, R to X. Ironically.
Or like the ESRB, it's like M to A.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Is A is adults only.
I mean, also Australia and a lot of Europe are so soy and beta about that kind of stuff. I mean, we in the UK, we couldn't get Bully, the other game, because it was called Bully.
Oh.
And then it was released under, well, I mean, this partly on Rock 7 2K, horrible name. I love that game. It's a Latin name that means dog eat dog, and it's Canis Canum Edit.
Oh.
It's Canis Canum Edit, and the logo is just like the school logo.
Oh.
What an unappealing idea.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys want to go to private school? Pay for it. Pay for that game, children.
Do you guys want to go to Latin private school?
Oh, boy, yeah. Put down San Andreas. It's time to learn.
So, Grand Theft Auto, for those who are not familiar, is a game about crime. Yeah. It's the title of it is a crime.
Mm-hmm. You do it five times.
You do missions, oftentimes committing crimes.
Heists it's Heat. The GTA 5 is the movie Heat. It's a heist movie.
Yeah. And one of the things that kids did is like for all of time is fuck around with the game, hack in all the guns and stuff, blow things up, get the cop. There's a star system where the cops can, you know, basically if you do a small crime, you know, you one star, you do a bunch of crimes or big crimes, five star, then they're sending SWAT team, helicopters, you know, all the stuff after you. As a kid, that becomes its own game. Now you're like, I want to defeat the cops. I want to hide from the cops, whatever.
Yeah, putting in the all weapons hack and sometimes invincibility and then just doing that was, I would say, most younger people's GTA.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Do and, the rest of the game.
Yeah, no, a lot of people didn't play the missions. And to a lot of people, that's like their childhood.
Yeah,
and I'm not here to make a point about violence in video games, but this is an old take that this is what GTA is. This is my point. And so Elon had like the most baffling statement. I don't know why you would ever say this in
so
public. His tweet is tried GTA 5, but didn't like doing crime. Dude, it's such a pathetic thing to say.
I don't believe
it's
you
a video
all.
Game.
Why is on that moral barometer, why is murder in other settings fine?
Dude, Harvest Moon loved it. Hate farming as a concept. I'm not trying to go out and like be a farmer.
I hate agriculture.
So like, why would I play this game?
What is this corn?
Phoenix Wright, dude? I don't want to be a lawyer.
I'm not a fucking narc, bro.
Yeah.
L.A. Noir. I don't like living in the past.
I didn't want to defend anyone who was potentially a criminal, so I couldn't play the lawyer game where I was a defense attorney.
Didn't I? GTA 5 required shooting police officers in the opening scene. Just couldn't do it.
Have you seen that? Yeah.
Thank you for your service, sir. Yeah,
have you seen that meme of the, Jacob, can you type in little boy gun stock photo? It's the...
Oh, yeah.
it's the second row. The second row.
And
then
the
to
red
the left,
t-shirt.
To the left, red t-shirt.
The Winnie the Pooh guy.
And then scroll down to the like photos. Go to the second. Yeah, this is Elon.
Can't do it.
This is Elon playing GTA, dude.
It requires doing crime.
Yeah, he's like, no, I don't want to do it, dude. I respect the law.
Little Winnie the Pooh clothed kid almost shooting, getting upset and crying with a gun in his hand. It's just so... I think what maybe rings so hollow about it is he is lying. Not lying that he didn't play GTA 5, I don't even care, whatever. But he is lying that is the ethical reason.
Yeah.
He's just like, it's...
It feels like he's
performing?
Pandering. Like, no, literally, it's like, is he about to run for president? Like, who is he looking for the approval of?
This is a weird track that he's on actually right now, which is like where some of the speculation that he's trying to go for, like maybe running the general 2028 or something
that's
like that.
absolutely insane.
There's just a lot of pandering to a base that largely doesn't know who he is. Like, the conservative voter base maybe has heard his name, but if you're outside the Twitter, Facebook obsessed sphere,
yeah,
if you're mostly offline, you think he's like the same. You think he's always on it. Or you think he's like, you might think he is a senator or something.
Yeah, he's like,
you grossly overestimate how much other people are looped in.
It feels like, I don't know, but he's like running out of people who think he's really smart. Because
yes,
I think he like keeps doing things that like counter that narrative, either knowingly
being
or
dumb.
Not. Yeah, it's like he keeps doing wild stuff where people are like, oh, I thought this guy was supposed to be a genius. Because like when we had never heard him talk and just heard him like launching rockets and like making cars, we thought he was like the next coming of, I don't know, a big old smart guy. But
we wanted his branding really early on was, I'm kind of like a real life Iron Man.
Yeah, he's like Tony Stark, dude.
It'd be like if Tony Stark shit himself every time he flew, and we eventually were like, I don't think he's that good at being Iron Man.
Yeah, have you seen Avengers? Do you see how many fucking civilians die? Yeah.
Dude, have you rewatched the first Iron Man anytime recently?
No.
The first two times Iron Man does anything, it is fighting miscellaneous Middle Eastern terrorists.
Right.
Unnamed, deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
And his motivation before he gets captured, like the reason he's fighting back, is because he's in like a Humvee in, again, anonymous Middle Eastern country. And thank you for your service, by the way. One of the soldiers in there was like, Tony Stark, I'm like a huge fan. My kid loves you. And then he dies in the explosion.
And then like his backstory is like his father was like a war profiteer.
Yeah. Well, he's in Afghanistan because he's a weapons dealer.
Yeah, like, he's a weapons dealer.
He's an arms
manufacturer.
And then the first time he does anything in the full suit with the paint job, everything, he flies down to just somewhere, to just some camp, and is just murdering, air quotes, terrorists.
Oh, yeah.
And just shooting on them. They can't hurt him because of his special suit.
Yeah.
He's GTAing.
I mean, can I just say thank you for your service,
thank
Mr.
you for your
Stark.
Service,
yeah.
Thank you for doing crime for our benefit.
Thank you for saving us from the fictional Middle East.
Me personally.
The fictional terror threat.
I hate doing crime. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, personally, yeah. Especially war crimes. No, it couldn't be me, dude.
Quite shooting for
I quit.
Officers.
Yeah,
that's
when I
so fucking funny.
And then the Tay brothers spoke out about GTA 6. But like before we look at this, we also have to list some of the things that the Tay brothers have also spoken out about, like books. and books and movies.
Recording of history.
Music. Just things in general. Oh, by the way, speaking out against music is Andrew Tate's entire rap career, which is an affront to the concept of music.
I can see if I had that rap career, I would want to eliminate the medium of music. I would want to get rid of audio.
It's do or die.
Suicide.
I hate music, and that's why I'm making music. I hate GTA 5 because I cried shooting the police.
That's his slam poetry session that he also had to have removed.
He was at the slam poetry set with Rose from Black White.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's a Def Jam. People don't know that.
All right, can we look at the Tate brothers?
New GTA 6 is out. Have you ever played any GTA? This is a genuine question. I've never played any of them.
I believe that I played first one.
No.
That's like a top-down, bird's-eye
view. Oh, my God,
he's
so old.
Kind of 2D game without any real graphic violence back when I was 10 or 11.
I just come back from 12,
when whenever it came out. I do recall that. But you know what? I'm going to speak about GTA 6 while you're on the topic, because now we're actually talking about something.
Wait, pause.
Okay, it's got Rumble at the top left, so that means that this grid of photos they have is from the stream itself. It's pretty fucking telling that them not liking it, it's just photos of black people. That's all this is. It's none of the vistas, none of the missions. The protagonist isn't in it at all. It's just like, this is scary, I feel like.
I love that Tristan Tate played GTA 1. I don't even know if he really played GTA 1 or if he's pretending to remember what GTA 1 was, or he was giving himself an out for the narrative where he's like, well, this one didn't have any violence. I don't think that's true.
Well, was he saying the first game doesn't have violence?
Yeah, he kind of implied that. We could just watch the whole clip again, but I do think it's funny that he's essentially like, yeah, I haven't played a Grand Theft. I played it when it was a text-based adventure.
Yeah.
I played it when it was in black and white on DOS. Yeah. But I can't remember. I've never shot anyone in a game. Dude,
he sounds like he's either played all of them and knows it very well, or knows nothing about it and checked. Because that's like a common thing as well. People would be like, oh, Sonic, he's... There's like somebody called like Rose or some shit, and Knuckles and their friends, mm-hmm, and like,
yeah.
Yeah, Amy Rose, like his girlfriend, and Amy Sonic Rose. Boom, they wore a bunch of bandages. It's like,
yeah,
I don't.
Same thing.
What is it? He's running or something? Dr. Robotnik, yeah. Who's also known as Eggman?
Yeah, also known as Eggman. Knuckles is an echidna, in case you were curious.
If you, this isn't my kind of shit.
It's not, I actually played it when it was a tabletop paper RPG. Yeah.
I remember when you used to play a little man in a red hat trying to rescue a princess and teaming up with your brother. Now, if rescuing purity from evil...
Is this a real take that's happening right now?
Is he?
This is also a super old... This is truly... I'm going to tell you when these talking points last happened in my mind. The year is 2010. Mass Effect has just come out. The headline is Sex Box on Fox News.
That's right.
Because you can romance characters in off-screen relationships, yeah, in Mass Effect.
And games are only made for children is the claim, which is not the case at
all. It's like cartoons are made for children. Can you believe the stuff they're putting on The Simpsons? Can you believe the stuff they're putting on Family Guy?
Adults buy games so much more to the point where Nintendo is the only place with the market share to make games for kids anymore.
Yeah. And so... It's remarkable to me that they're going, I remember when games were like, you could be a wizard. And now you've got, you're going to a strip club and someone's twerking.
You know, I can actually remember a time where you were a red hat, and it's this year. It's the latest Mario that came out a month ago.
Yeah, Super Mario Wonder, I think, and it came out a month ago. Also, around the same time that red hat man was saving a princess, there were games like Custer's Revenge where just look it up in text before you like look up the video.
It is more explicit and like offensive and triggering than
anything that's ever been in Grand Theft Auto ever in the history of the series.
So much so that it's literally illegal to, you cannot publish that now, including at X.
Yeah.
It is like, it's, you know, people can probably infer, and I don't recommend most people look it up.
I don't recommend it, but I'm it's just a counterpoint to this concept that games were always this, like, squeaky clean thing.
Ridiculous, dude.
Yeah.
I remember when books were a nice, tidy little story about a guy with a long beard flipping over gambling tables.
I remember when books were... They were small, they were square, and they had names like Miss Sunshine and Mr. Mustache and shit. And
everyone poops.
Nothing bad happened in any of the books.
I remember a time where art was drawn on the cave wall and was supposed to represent a big elephant I saw.
I remember a time when there was a book about a curious little monkey and he wore a raincoat.
A yellow hat.
Yeah.
It's a guy wearing a
but
yellow
not anymore.
What is going on?
What is going on?
Not anymore. I remember a time.
I remember a time.
Where I interviewed that guy that said he did crack with Obama.
All right, let's keep playing.
I'm not a fan of anyone under the age of 18, 21 maybe, playing video games where the goal is to shoot police officers. I just don't think that's good for society. With all the amazing graphics and engines and whatever people put into these video games, I feel like you could create a better objective with the game, you know? Maybe you are the police officer. Maybe...
Those games exist.
Yeah, absolutely, of course. They should make it so GTA's for 18 and above.
Yeah, it's isn't GTA rated M?
Yeah. or R or what, I don't know how it works.
M in ESRB, which is 17 plus.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. No, well, it should be for 21. No,
21 is wild.
So funny.
It's such a funny...
I think it should be 26. You can't be on your parents' insurance before you play it.
It feels weird to make this statement about any media because, like, why stop at video games? Why not I don't think there should be any movies where any bad things happen.
They're also doing that like faux intellectual thing pioneered by the dark professor, Jordan P. Peterson, or whatever the hell, the meat man, beef daddy, where like you take a piece of media, really simple media for babies, and then you over-intellectualize it by representing something as purity, usually any kind of feminine presence in the game. You make that purity, you make it ultra-conservative, and then you take like the mission being... You just make it into a Cinderella. That's all. Or you make it specifically into like saving you from a tower or something, because that's the only media reference point that they know from before like 2005.
It's just funny to, because even on its face, without extrapolating anything that isn't said in this video, they are comparing a game for children to a game for late teens and adults. Yeah,
it's like The Mission.
Comparing a movie that's rated G to a movie that's rated R, quite literally, because you know that's the same age ranges.
And you can't deliver the same idea in a different way. Like GTA 5 is just about like, it's about three guys that suck. Like, they're really bad people, and they're miserable because they're bad. And then at the end, well, the mild spoilers is like, one of the two worser of them die. That's the choice. Spoilers for a 10-year-old game. And actually, when I was like a shitty college guy, when that came out, I was just like, this is deep. This is actually wild. I can't believe that people don't understand the deeper themes. I'm like, no, it's just about like people not being great to be around.
I couldn't get through Shooting Cops, so I didn't play it.
Oh, right. Yeah. It actually involves crime. I'm realizing now. No. This is before I understood the thin blue line.
It does involve crime. Yeah.
Thank you for your service for not playing it, actually.
Yeah.
Austin, thank you for your service for not playing it.
Shout out
Jacob,
to...
Jacob, did you play it? Flipping the salute the other way. Yeah,
I played Metal Gear Solid, which is a game for patriots.
Yeah, dude, that's a pro-government game. Yeah, I played, I really like Peace Walker, where you build a private military organization.
Yeah.
Because that's the opposite of
a
golf.
I love that game has no subtext about how bad
it's about war.
War is.
It's about it being pog.
Yeah, it's about how war and war machines are like super dope, actually. And war crimes are sick.
They just don't watch movies, right? That was always one of their things.
Yeah, that's like, I don't think they're allowed to have media criticism when the last time they interacted with media was when they were 10 years old.
What do they enjoy?
Cigars.
Yeah, pretending to like cigars and whiskey.
Yeah.
They, and karate or whatever. Yeah.
I've got no time for media. I'm too busy fighting evil.
I'm busy talking about when I was in MMA. Maybe this is not important or not. Why is President gay? All right. I didn't want to see it. That's interesting. Enough is enough. It's GTA or whatever.
Look up gay.
Jacob right-clicked on the post. All right, look Jacob. Up gay. Do look up gay real quick.
Wait, that's us. Immature people saying President gay is trending.
Rest in... It's just people asking why it's trending. It's an Ouroboros.
Maybe that's like when trending topics were even worse after Elon took over. Weird things like the would trend, yeah. And then everybody would just be talking about that.
I think we were hanging out yesterday, and it was just like we saw like Hassan trending, and I just tapped it. I'm like, "What's Hassan trending?" And it's just when usually he's streamed or is streaming,
yeah.
And a bunch of people mention him.
Yeah,
just happens every single day, bro.
It's every day, bro. All right. Well, do we have any like good closing thoughts on this?
That shot of the little
I will
baby
probably
with the gun.
tweet that thing about Elon later with that boy as the quote tweet.
Oh my god, Austin's doing it right now. The rat.
Elon playing the beginning of GTA 5.
Gamers, we are heading off to the Patreon episode at patreon.com/sadboys. One of the reasons is that I have finally gotten my ass in gear, and I have my DMV written test coming up so I can finally get my American license.
On the Patreon, we are going to be watching a Jubilee video, specifically 6 black women versus 1 secret Asian woman. But we end every episode of Sad Boys with a particular phrase. Oh, by the way, patreon.com/sadboys. Patreon. And you can subscribe now and you'll get the live show when it comes out.
Patreon.com/we love you.
And we're sorry. But actually, it's patreon.com/shabboys, but we love you and we're sorry. Goodbye. See.
How long y'all cook y'all greens for?
Until the Lord says stop. What shows did people watch?
Black shows.
He is here. I was like, he is here.
Sister. Yeah. Girlfriends, anybody? Okay, Living Single, exactly. Shout out.
Friends.
Girlfriends. I was like, someone please say girlfriends.
Gucci girl, Gucci girl, how you doing? How you moving, girl? Moving, girl. How's your day looking at future girl? Future girl, yeah, we